Psalm 77. A psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forever? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of thy works, all thy works, and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people and are the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters. And thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. One of the things that we are purposing to do this weekend as we come together and celebrate 55 years as a church is to remember. To remember the past years. And to remember what God has done through his people so that we might benefit from it. And I want you to notice in verses 11 through 12, Asaph's words. He says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doing. We see three different things here in these two verses. We see first and foremost Asaph's source of remembering. What does he remember? What is he calling to mind? He is calling to mind the works of the Lord, the wonders of old, all the works. And notice his resolve. He says three different times, I will, I will, I will. He's almost intentionally setting up in his heart and mind the purpose of remembering. He's resolved, he's determined to look back at the works of God so that he might be strengthened and encouraged. And interesting enough, the last verse says, thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So at the beginning of the psalm, he's discouraged. He's wondering if God has casted him away. And his remembrance of the goodness and grace of God brings strength to his heart. And he remembers what God has done so that he might continue on following in the ways of God. So we see his source of remembering is the Lord. It's not man or man's tradition merely on a horizontal level, but he is seeing things on a vertical level. His source is the Lord. His resolve, he will. He's determined to call things to his mind and heart so that he might be helped. And then his purpose, verse 12, to talk of all thy doings. I will remember, I will remember, I will remember the works of the Lord, the wonders of old, all thy works. And remembering, I'm going to talk about it. And we have the Holy Spirit giving us this psalm and Asaph talking about it to us today here on Anniversary Sunday at Calvary Baptist Church. Now the Bible is filled with commands to remember. Bible says God told Moses, God told Israel, and God told specifically Noah to remember the rainbow. Remember the bow that I've set in the cloud. Why? To remember all that has come to pass, to remember the downfall of man, and to remember God's grace and not destroying the entire world when the world turned against the Lord. Israel is commanded in the scripture to remember. To remember how they were slaves in Egypt. To remember God's deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh. And to remember the provision of God in the wilderness. Over and over and over in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. God wants them to remember. Remember, 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 remember. Jesus tells his disciples in John 15 to remember the word that he has spoken unto them. Paul, the apostle, writes to the church in Corinth, and we read that Paul wants the church to observe the Lord's Supper, to take the bread, to take the cup, and to do those things for a remembrance. As often as you do, do this in remembrance of Christ, and do it till he comes. And there are many other instances that we can bring out, but over and over and over, God commands his people to remember. Did you know every time that we come together and open up the Word of God, we are remembering? All this is history. This is past us. Oh, it is very applicable to our day, but these things that were written were occurred years ago. And so we are remembering. Every time we open the Word of God and read it, we are remembering. And so God wants us to remember and talk about his works in past years. Now, why? Why does God want us to do this? Let me give you a few simple things to remember. He wants us to remember and talk about his works. Number one, because we are prone to forget. Prone to forget. Don't we see that in Israel? How forgetful they became as they walked through the wilderness. They saw the mighty miracles of the Lord. And in an instant, they forgot about the hardness in Egypt, how they were slaves. And so God says, you need to remember my goodness and grace because you're prone to forget. God knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. God knows that we have a nature. And as believers, this nature, the flesh and the spirit warring against another. And he knows that as human beings, we become distracted by a thousand different things in this world. So God wants us to remember because he knows that we are prone to forget. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Also, we are called to remember because we are prone also to take things for granted. I could not help but think about yesterday as we were celebrating during our lunch, the building downstairs, the multi-purpose room that we use every week, Wednesday nights for King's Kids, Sunday mornings for the Sunday school class, and then for fellowships. And it was under Pastor Innes' ministry where the church moved to erect that building. Sometimes we go through the motions, we use things, the facilities here, and we forget. We take things for granted. We take for granted the great sacrifices of past years and all that went into making this possible to come together this morning. So God wants us to remember because we're forgetful, because we're prone to take things for granted. Also, God wants us to remember and talk about his works in the past because we learn from the past. We learn from the past. What do we learn? Well, we learn lessons of love, lessons of sacrifice, lessons of faith, lessons of courage. When we go to the account of David and Goliath, we learn from it. Here's a shepherd boy, David. He's not a mighty warrior with a sword. Shepherd boy, David has faith in the Lord. And that story, the account, encourages us to have faith in God and trust in him. Oh, God wants us to remember these things so that we might be helped to move forward. God has given us the history of his workings to give us hope. and to encourage us to roll up our sleeves and to sacrifice in the labor of the Lord. And we would look at past works and say, well, God did it in the past and He can do it now again. When we remember, was not your heart stirred yesterday and Pastor Ennis giving the testimony of church members in the past, working and laboring for the Lord diligently? And for me, that helps me to remember so that we might move forward and continue in that work. So we learn about lessons of love and sacrifice, faith, courage, positive lessons, but also remembering the past. We do learn of lessons of pride, selfishness, laziness, lost opportunities. So the Bible does record many instances. Abraham's failure, his fear of man, Samson's fall. And those are warning signs for us. And so we remember that famous quote, history shows that both those who do not learn history and those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. So we need to learn from history. We learn from the failings of others. We learn from the difficulties. And the past teaches us why things are the way they are. Isn't that helpful? Why do we need to learn about history and what God's done? Because it helps us to know how we got here and why things are the way they are. It helps us to remember what elements should be repeated and what elements should be avoided. And God wants us to remember and talk about past years to teach us that He's in control. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, He turns it whithersoever He will. You've probably heard this before, but if you haven't, you need to know it. When we use the word history, break that apart, we're talking about His story. God's story. God's providential ways. God is the mover of all circumstances. And so we look back and remember because we're seeing that all things working together for good. For our spiritual good and for His glory. We marvel at the story of Joseph. And we see one negative thing after another negative thing after another thing, a negative thing in the story of Joseph. But we love the story of Joseph because we see that overall God was leading Joseph. And overall God is going to use Joseph in a mighty way. And so we need to remember and talk about the past because the past, history, is God's story. The Bible says that we are responsible to speak of God's working to the next generation. Look at Psalm 78, 1 through 4. Psalm 78, 1 through 4. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. And our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. And that's why we've invited the Sunday school class to be with us this day, because it is our responsibility not only to take the baton from the generation that has gone before us, but also then to pass it to the next generation. So we hear of what God has done, but then we pass on the knowledge of what God has done to the next generation. Psalm 48, 12 through 14. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Not only are we to remember God's work in the past, but we are to anticipate God's work in the future. While we remember the past and appreciate the past, we cannot afford to live in the past. Right? We need to have that balance. God wants us to dream about the future. God wants us to labor and serve now, just as others did in the past. God wants us to leave a good testimony for the next generation. And so to encourage us and to provide us some helpful wisdom and insight of how we might do that, I thought it beneficial to have those who have lived life and have served in the ministry for some time, and to encourage us to stay faithful in the straight and narrow path. And the first person I'd like to have come is no stranger to Calvary Baptist Church. I think they were given an honorary membership a long time ago. Pastor Joe Doyle, he's an evangelist. He has planted churches and has served the Lord faithfully over many, many years. And I liken him to one of our own church family members. And I've asked him if he would, for 10 minutes, to just share some things as he has seen churches thrive for the Lord, as he has seen churches even fall and stray. And so I want us to learn from those who have lived life and have seen the ebb and flow of ministry in our country, and to help encourage us in the days to come. Yes, we remember the past, but what are we to emphasize in the days to come? What is it that we are to give ourselves to, so that we might have a faithful testimony to those who follow in our footsteps? So I've asked him to share for about 10 minutes of those things that will be helpful for us as a church.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. Take your Bibles. I just want to read one little phrase in the book of Revelation. Now, this is some letters written to these churches, the Revelation is. And there's a rebuke, and I don't want to deal with the rebuke very strongly. But I want you to look at verse 5. Remember, from whence ye are fallen, and repent, and do the first works. And the phrase I want us to remember there is to do the first works. You know, if you're going to have a future, you do have to look back at the past, and you have to see what happened and how God worked and why he worked. And this church has been threatened for the light of God to be taken from it. Now, if you lose your light, you are in great trouble. And the light doesn't come through our goodness or our abilities or our talents. And may I be careful with this, even through our right doctrine, God could still take away our light, for this church had right doctrine. I'm so thankful for the good foundation of doctrine that was laid here and that has continued on. But if you're going to have a future, if you're going to look at what God has in store for you in good ways, and you want that, then do the first works. Do the first works. And what are those first works? Well, first of all, let me just say to you that it's really speaking about your first love. The motivation of those first works was your first love. And the first love came to you, and I want to talk to you about it individually just for a moment, about that matter that God could do in your life, and then as he does it in your life, it would be collectively done in the church. The first works, the first love came to you. Do you remember it? Do you remember that first love? It came in a time of great humility. Now, what is humility? Somebody thinks humility is just kind of sucking your thumb and I can't do anything. That's not humility. That's a pretense. What we need to know is that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. So what is humility? It's when you came to a submissive condition before God and a complete dependence upon him. And that was humility. Where you came to submit. You remember when you were saved? You saw sin like you never saw it before. It wasn't somebody else's sin that you saw your sin. And you saw it in a way that you had not understood, realized. And you came to a place where you came to God and you submitted to him in humility. And you became dependent upon his work for your salvation. and not upon yourself. And do you know the result of that humility? God gave you grace. And that grace was the first thing that came to you was, faith and hope. But the greatest thing was that you loved Him. Now, if you want a future, you're going to have to love the Lord as you loved Him at the beginning. If you want to look at the past, remember your first love and thereby then do those first works. You know, when you first came to know the Lord, you may have been a boy like me, or you may have been a grown man with a very deep history of maybe some wrongdoing. But when you came to that first love, you talked to God freely. You didn't have to have a flowery language. You just talked to Him. You loved Him. You wanted to be with Him. And you wanted to hear Him. You wanted Him to speak to you. You were hungry for the Word of God, whether it be in your own private times of reading the Bible or when you were in church and you heard the Word of God preached, or when it was taught in your Sunday school classes. You had a love for God. That was your first love. And that is what it is that God wants us to have and to experience, an ongoing experience, so that we might be useful for God today. And if we do not have that first love, then we're going to lose the opportunities. It doesn't matter how many buildings we have or how great they are, and I'm thankful for them. But your first love is the most important. Have you lost your first love? And if you have, you need to repent. And if you're going to have a future, you need to have a first love. Then you'll come to prayer meetings. You understand? And you won't have a problem in praying. I don't mean to say to you that you might not be timid. That's okay. Be timid. But your first love will overcome that timidity. You understand? You may not lead in prayer, but your heart will be crying out to God because of that love you have for Christ. You imagine a new bride. We're the bride of Christ. And when He saved us, we became His. And what a wonderful relationship that is and was. Remember your first love. There's your motivation. 55 years from now, this church will still be going as long as it has its love for Christ. The love of God, the love for Christ constrains us to learn right doctrine, constrains us to come to prayer meetings, constrains us to talk to our friends and relatives about the Lord Jesus. It constrains us to stand for Him and publicly live for Him. It constrains us. We cannot help it, our first love. So where does that come from when you come back to that humility? You're humble, submissive, and dependent upon Him. See your dependency. Oh, may God put this church through trials, that you might know and understand and continue to understand your dependency upon Him, that you might have your first love, God's grace working in you. All right. Well, I hope I haven't offended you. But if I've offended you, so be it. Let us love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you started. Now, I understand that there's nobody here that was here when the church first started. But you had a first love. And you can go back to that. And it may have been in this church that you experienced this time while you were here. And you got saved here, as we've heard testimony this morning. And that you understand and remember back to that first love. Oh, what a wonderful thing. That's your motivation. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Pray. We have programs. We have all kinds of things. But let it be your first love. That is the reason for your coming and doing your first works. Don't forget them. God bless you. Did I do what I was supposed to do?
Amen. Thank you. Amen. 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 The Great Commission flows from the Great Commandment, not the other way around. And so great, great challenge. And I know, Pastor Innes, you'll be preaching at 11 o'clock and 6 o'clock, but I just wanted to see if the Lord has a couple words now, just that you would encourage us specifically, practically, for the next 5 to 10 minutes, just in ways that we can anticipate God's working in the future. And so if you just, whatever's on your heart now, 5 to 10 minutes.
Well, our hearts are already full. This has been good stuff, hasn't it? We got our things encouraged in the ways of the Lord. I know where I'm going in two sermons today, so I don't want to get into that part of it. But I want to piggyback on what my dear brother just talked about on your first love. And talks about the difficulties that come to us to keep us humble. But as a believer, you have no credibility if you don't know the greatness of God. And you will never know the greatness of God unless you have gone through deep waters. You don't know that God is real until you've been in impossible places. And I mean very dark days. And nothing seems, there's no way out. And it seems that there is no provision coming. And it seems you are at the bottom of everything. And there's no hope. And then all of a sudden, as you're trusting God and you're crying out to God and you're saying, God, where are you? Then all of a sudden, wow. God moves into your life. And at that point, you begin to say, wow, he really is there. And those, if you want counsel and advice, you get them from people that have been through the deep waters. Is that not true? This is where you get the blessing. The people that can really encourage you are the people that have been there and done that. But we don't want to be there and do that. But without being there and doing that. And I've noticed that in church life also. Just a personal word. My dear wife went home to be with the Lord almost 6 years ago. We had 50 wonderful years of marriage. Wonderful family God has given us. 4 of my children were in the church here before we moved to San Francisco. I now have 8 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. And my dear wife was diagnosed with lung cancer for 9 months. We thought, well, the chemotherapy, the things they were doing were working. And then finally it came to the point where we knew it was going to be terminal. And I had some decisions to make in life and ministry. What was going to happen to me? What was going to happen to my ministry? And out of Psalm 40, I heard a song, heard someone sing a beautiful song about how that God has lifted us up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. And he set our feet upon a rock. And then he put a new song in our mouths, even praise to our God. And then there was a verse that was given to me out of that experience. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. And I said, wow, I'm going through this and God is going to go through this with me. The new song is not a new jazz music kind of music. It's a new testimony of the goodness and the greatness of God. And he put a new song in my mouth. And it's not a song of despair. It's a song of praise, even unto our great God. Many shall see it and shall fear. And you know, people watch churches. I will never remember the terrible church split that took place before I came here in 1968. And for the first 5 years, as we went out visiting and talking to people, Calvary Baptist Church was the church that had all those troubles. You're the church that has the troubles. You're the church where they've had this bad fight. But I want to tell you something, the goodness of God overwhelms that. Amen. And you see God move in, and then out of all of that comes a testimony of the greatness of God. Amen. You know, God can't be anybody but who he is. You think about that for a moment. God can be no one but whom he is. Amen. And he's a great God, and he's a good God. And so it's wonderful to know him. Wonderful to be a part of his work. We have our ups and we have our downs in our personal life, in our church life. One more thought I'll give you, and that is that when I came here to this church and the deacon board resigned en masse and went down to Joshua Tree, and they thought the church was going to die and fall apart, that they left it to do that. And I ended up coming on weekends and preaching, and finally they asked me to be their pastor, and I came. But if it weren't for a remnant of faithful people, when I got here, they didn't have a budget. They didn't know what their expenses were. They didn't know about the bond issue they had. They were a helpless people. But I want to tell you, they love God, right on the money. You love God, and God will not fail those who love Him. And there was a small group of people here when I came, and God honored their faithfulness. It wasn't their capacity. It wasn't their greatness. It wasn't their talents and abilities. It was their love for God and their faithfulness. Amen. Hear me, that's the key. You hit it on the head, my brother. You hit it right on the head. When I went to San Francisco, the advice was unanimous. Don't go there. They've got 12 old ladies. The place is deader than a doornail. San Francisco will eat you up. That's no place to take your family. Don't go. The next person I talked to said the same thing. But dedicated to God was a group of people. They didn't know how to do it. They didn't know how to put it together. They didn't know how to salvage it. They didn't know. But God honored their love and their faithfulness. Amen. And we've had 42 wonderful years of fruitful ministry in that place. So people, love God. Just love Him with all your heart and be enamored with His greatness and goodness. That's the way through everything. God bless you.
All right. Well, I know we had some other things scheduled, but we'll end it there with prayer. I hope your hearts are encouraged. Make sure to get a drink and stretch your legs and be in here right at 11 o'clock. All right. So we have about 14 minutes. Make sure we're in here at 11 o'clock sharp, and the celebration will continue. We'll continue to look into the Word of God and to receive it for the help of our souls. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You for the things that we have heard. I pray that we would truly receive them, and receiving them, Lord, that we would keep them in the depths of our hearts, that we might be encouraged in the days to come as we labor in Your harvest fields. I thank You for those who have been faithful. And Lord, above that, we thank You for Your faithfulness and the lives of others. Lord, it is Your name that we praise and honor and glorify. And we, Lord, desire to be a people who are faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Lord, help us to be just that. In Jesus' name, amen.